Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
MIN Files, the ultimate Vikings podcast with Nate Lundy.
You find him on Twitter at jhuffman_sports. It is Justin Huffman from NFLSpinZone.com. Time to talk some Vikings with Justin. Let's start here. Obviously, Justin, the big trade for Sam Bradford to come in and shore up the quarterback position. What's your take on the trade that the Vikings pulled off with the Eagles?
Well, first off, I want to say thanks for bringing me on here. Sam Bradford, man, there was a few, you know, as a Vikings fan and as a Vikings cover, I kind of had a few different mixed emotions towards it. First off, I kind of felt a little angst. I felt a little betrayed by Rick Spielman coming out saying he didn't want to forecast, he didn't want to give the future away for any specific player, let alone a quarterback, especially when you have one that's going through what Teddy Bridgewater is going through right now. But giving away a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick in the future that could become a second-round pick if the Vikings get to the Super Bowl is a big step, and it's a big you're giving out a big number, especially when you have a few players, a few key players that are coming into the end of their prime careers. But specifically, Adrian Peterson, you got guys like Chad Greenway, you got Brian Robeson, you got a couple key guys on both sides of the ball that are coming into the prime of their careers, the end of their careers, and you just gave away a first-round pick. So I wasn't exactly enamored with the pick, but I also understand the meaning of win now, and I don't feel like we could have done that with Sean Hill.
Let me ask you this, Justin, kind of maybe play devil's advocate, because I heard it brought up with regards to this trade that, you know, as much as giving up a first-round pick, the future fourth that can become the second, all those kinds of wrinkles to this, it is a challenge and it is a lot to give up. But I feel like it may also say from the organization to the other 52 guys on the roster that that they believe in them, that, you know, we believe in the quality of this team and therefore we want to try to do something right now rather than just wait around to see how Sean Hill can do or see when Teddy Bridgewater comes back. So do you feel like it was maybe also a vote of confidence for the rest of the roster?
No, I did appreciate the message of this, and I like Mike Zimmer's message to the media, message to his players. You know, we're not going to give up. This team's ready to win now. They're in a prime spot to get up there and challenge for the Super Bowl. I mean, they put Arizona on the line. They took Denver down to the wire when they played Denver, the Super Bowl champion. It came down to a last-minute play with the Teddy Bridgewater fumble from Von Miller pressure to end the game there. So the Vikings were there in a lot of the games that they did lose last year. And, I mean, obviously we saw the Seattle Seahawks game where a missed field goal, and we're looking at the NFC, you know, possible NFC championship, maybe Super Bowl against, you know, against that team. So I feel that they're still in the area that they can get to a Super Bowl. But I don't know if giving up a first-round pick was the right decision, and it kind of tells me when the Philly GM comes out was kind of surprised that the Vikings were willing to do this, that he himself wasn't expecting the Vikings to give up a first-round pick for Sam Bradford, which kind of speaks volumes to me that he wasn't even expecting what the Vikings were willing to give up. I understand blood in the water with what Spielman said and such, but sometimes you just can't do that, and I'm not sure Sam Bradford was the best quarterback that we could have gotten for a first-round pick, but in all reality, he may have been the only quarterback that we could have gotten that's somewhat decent for a first, second-round pick, something along the lines.
Justin, when you look at this team, we know that it's about Adrian Peterson and his ability to run the ball. Statistically, where do you think he needs to finish up the year to know that he's had the kind of impact that he's expected to have?
I don't think we're going to have the same year he had back with Christian Ponder under the helm. He's not going to go for 2,000 yards. But I wouldn't put it past him. Maybe a 15-plus 100-yard season. We get about 50, maybe 12 to 15 touchdowns out of him. I'd like to see a little bit more production out of the passing game. I don't think Adrian Peterson is the type of guy you can call a two-down player, and I don't like it when he's labeled that kind of guy. He's been working on his hands a lot. He's been running wide receiver routes with the wide receivers. He's made it a project of himself in the offseason and at practice to get better in the pass game at receiving, at blocking. So I feel that maybe he'll be around the 1,500 range, but I feel that his production is going to be a lot better in the receiving game. And Sam Bradford likes to check it down. He likes to look tight ends. He likes to look running backs. He likes to take his shots when he can. But the tight end and the running back are keys to him, especially in Philly when you had Darren Sproles and guys like that come out of the backfield. I feel Adrian's going to need to step up his receiving game for him to be for the Vikings to push past that level.
Regardless of who's under center, what's your take right now, and what do you think about when it comes to the receiving core, both the receivers and the tight ends, Justin?
I love Kyle Rudolph this year from a fantasy aspect and from a production aspect. He was a Pro Bowler before, but I really feel like with Bradford under center, he's going to be that scapegoat, the guy he's going to go to on third downs. Rudolph doesn't really have that burner speed. He has enough speed to separate, but he doesn't have the speed to get downfield, in my opinion. But he's a good third down remover. We all know he has good hands. He can make one-hand catches. He knows how to tiptoe the sidelines. I feel that he's a very good underneath guy and move the chains guy. So I have a feeling that Rudolph is probably going to be the key to Bradford's success. But I also wouldn't rule out Stephon Diggs still doing his thing. I think he would have been more successful with Teddy Bridgewater, with the rapport they have off-season working out down in Miami, and just kind of the chemistry that they've built up together. But I feel Sam Bradford's still going to give him every opportunity to get him work and get him the ball. And they've been moving Diggs around the slot. They're moving around in different areas. I think they're going to have plays for Stephon Diggs, for him to get plays.
On the defensive side of things, one of the advantages this team has, in the fact that, not just Adrian Peterson, but last year with Bridgewater only throwing for 14 touchdowns, is that their defense made it so that they didn't have to go crazy offensively to be able to win games. Going into this year, where's the confidence level that you have and the fans have when it comes to this defense being able to continue to be one of the better defenses in the NFL?
I completely love the turnaround that Zimmer's brought to this defense. This defense has seen improvements every single year that Zimmer's been the head coach. It's been magnificent to see from Leslie Frazier, a defensive mind, go to Mike Zimmer, and the defense just performs so much better. The secondary was once a problem and has become their strong point with Harrison Smith. I feel that the run defense really needs work. And we saw in preseason that they kind of got tore up a little bit. The insides were getting eat up. In the read option game and the shotgun, they're giving up some good 5-6 yard gains. But the reality is, in the preseason, they also didn't have Sharif Floyd playing much of the preseason. Linval Joseph played minimal time. Everson Griffin didn't play too much. Anthony Barr didn't play too much. And a guy that I really feel is going to take the next step this year didn't play at all in the preseason. That's Eric Kendricks. Eric Kendricks, the middle linebacker of the Minnesota Vikings, second-year player, I feel that he's going to make that leap, and he's going to become an all-pro player. He's probably going to be a Pro Bowl player, lead the Vikings in tackles, and he's going to make some very big key impact plays that the front seven is going to need from him.
Overall, as you get ready for week one, it's a road game against the Titans. Obviously, the Titans, not one of the better teams last year, but they continue to kind of go in the right direction. Let me ask you how you feel about this game, given that you were just talking about the run stopping, and we know how much the Titans want to run the ball.
Well, let me tell you, man, I don't feel too good about it, especially last year watching that first game against San Francisco where the Vikings just got completely bullied off the line. Played against Carlos Hyde and the guys from San Francisco who didn't have a great year last year. And the Vikings just got dominated by that front line. And Carlos Hyde made mincemeat of the defensive line and the linebackers. So I was scared then, and I'm even more scared now. The uncertainty of who's going to play on Sunday, the drama going into the first week of what's going to happen with the offense. The defense, it may be rainy. Who knows? It may be rainy over there with the hurricane and such. They're expected some showers. Derrick Henry is a beast of a man, rookie. He's going to come in. I bet at some point he may take over for for DeMarco. But I got a feeling that 1-2 punch with the Marcus Mariota threat, that where he could just take off from 80 yards, and we've seen him do it last year. I think it could be a long day, but the Vikings, at the end of the day, are a playoff team, and they're still going to have a shot in this game.
And then, obviously, week two turns into Sunday Night Football against the Packers. So, you know, you have to make sure, and I know coaches do this, but they just make sure you don't look past that first game into what is waiting for you in the second week with such a strong divisional game. You know, that's always a concern with that kind of a schedule waiting for you in week two. So I'd imagine that they've got to be able to stay focused on the Titans for sure.
Yeah, I think the thing is here is that they're not even looking past. There's no way they can look past the first week because they got so much stuff going on. They need to figure out who their quarterback's going to be, what's going to happen, what the field conditions are going to be like. They're trying to get one guy ready to play immediately, which they should be. So it's kind of hard to look past to the Green Bay Packers, but U.S. Bank Stadium opening game against the Green Bay Packers, your most known rival, the team that you're hopefully going to be competing against for the division championship. You can't get more pumped for a game except for that one, but too bad it's the second game. I got a feeling there's going to be a little let off from both teams, especially from the Vikings. This game would have been maybe week five, week six. I think it would have been a little bit better, but you definitely can't look past the Titans, but you surely can't be preparing for the Green Bay Packers right now.
Well, you're right. It's a great way to be able to open up the stadium. From NFLSpinZone.com on Twitter at @JHuffman_sports, Justin Huffman's been our guest to talk Vikings. Justin, appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks to Justin. Coming up next, the coach, Brian Billick. Stick around.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the NFL, and we do that every week here on the NFL Files with the coach, Brian Billick. You follow him on Twitter, @CoachBillick. He's brought to us by our friends at SeatGeek. Coach, we are here at week one, and as I was making my notes getting ready to chat this week, I realized that we are sitting on a whole lot of quarterback news. So let's start with the trade. Your thoughts on Sam Bradford going to Minnesota?
Well, I think it's a great move. I think it mainly is an indicator that shows you just how good Minnesota thinks they are. A lot of people coming in, including myself, thought they could be not only a playoff team as they were last year, but a Super Bowl contender. And I think Sam Bradford actually enhances that. It's tragic to lose Teddy Bridgewater the way they did, but they were still betting on Teddy Bridgewater to come a little bit. You know, he only had 14 touchdowns last year, and I think he was going to get there. I think Sam Bradford in this system, and I think that's an important part for his ability to turn around and hand the ball up to Adrian Peterson, make the big throws down the field, for them to play good defense, I think it's a great move for them.
And looking at what the Eagles then did, for some on the outside, Coach, it almost feels like the Eagles have said, okay, this is our season, maybe this isn't our season, but they're putting a lot of faith in Carson Wentz, who only took 39 snaps in the preseason. Are you surprised?
Not really. I am an IA, and I'm not. From the standpoint of anytime you take quarterback in the first round, you got to play that guy. I mean, otherwise, I was up at Philadelphia's training camp, and they seemed fully committed to not playing Carson Wentz if that's the way it came down. Remember, Doug Peterson was one who came in 1999 with the Philadelphia Eagles for Andy Reid to basically be a placeholder for Donovan McNabb, and he did that. Now, that was a 5-11 football team. And Don McNabb eventually took over. I'm a little surprised that they went to Carson Wentz this early, although the opportunity to turn Sam Bradford, I was critical of Philadelphia when they signed Sam Bradford and wondered what they were doing, then moved up to get the first round. But for them to recoup a first-round pick for Sam Bradford, I think they've been brilliant.
Yeah, I think overall when you look at that story, it worked out well for the Eagles. I knew that Minnesota was sitting on some extra picks, but obviously getting a first-rounder back was a big deal. Now let's go down to Dallas, Coach, where Dak Prescott will have the reins because of the injury to Tony Romo. You've had a chance to see him in the preseason. We know that all around the Metroplex, they're basically ready to put him in the Hall of Fame. They love him so much. But what have you seen from Dak Prescott that you think is going to be successful for him, and what do you still have concerns about?
Well, I think that optimism is well warranted, but let's not slam dunk him into the Hall of Fame just yet, okay? I mean, this young man doesn't know what's going to hit him. I think the difference, too, when you go back and you look at quarterbacks that have started in rookie years, let's go back to a great case study in 2008 when Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan took over as starting quarterbacks day one. Dak Prescott, Joe Flacco went in because of injury. They did not plan on starting him, and they actually ended up starting him, went to the playoffs. He had a solid year, not a great year, over 60%, a little better than one-to-one touchdown to interception, not stellar numbers, but showed that he could handle it. The difference being is Baltimore had a great defense. They had an established running game. Dallas doesn't have those things. They may have the running game. Obviously, the offensive line is Ezekiel Elliott could be a huge plus for them, but that defense has to be a concern. I think more is going to be asked of Dak Prescott than was asked of Joe Flacco, than even was asked of a Matt Ryan back then. And when you look last year with Mariota and Jameis Winston, who had solid rookie years that indicate they're going to be good, solid pros, I don't think as much was asked of them as is going to be asked of Dak Prescott, because that defense is suspect.
You just brought up Mariota, and I was going to ask you about Tennessee and the idea that they want to run what they're calling exotic smash mouth when it comes to their offensive attack this year. The Titans are in a tough division, and yet I feel like they're making steps in the right direction. What are you expecting out of Tennessee and out of a second year of Mariota?
Well, I like Marcus Mariota. I think he and Jameis Winston showed that they can play in this league. Obviously, they've got to take the next step. That description of their offense fits Mike Mularkey. It goes back to his Pittsburgh Steelers day. He ultimately wants to be a smash-mouth running program. But obviously, when you have Marcus Mariota and some of the things he does, they're going to open it up a little bit. It really is all about Marcus Mariota and how much better he's going to get. Remember, they made the transformation to Mike Mularkey as the head coach because he was the offensive coordinator to develop Marcus Mariota. This happened to him in Jacksonville when he took over as the head coach to obviously expand on the resume of Blaine Gabbert, and it didn't happen. So this is going to be a similar scenario. Tennessee and even Mike Mularkey, their fate's going to be tied to how much improvement, obviously, Marcus Mariota makes.
We're going around the NFL with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. He's brought to us each week by our friends at SeatGeek. Coach, when you look at the Carolina Panthers, we know, first of all, it's always difficult to get back to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years, regardless of whether you win or lose. But how much of their success last year, going 15-1, can they duplicate this year?
Well, that's a tall task to think that you're going to go 15-1. But this is clearly, in my opinion, the best team in the NFC South. This could be one of the top two teams, maybe the top team, even personnel-wise, in the NFC. There's no reason to think that they can't get back there. Cam Newton, there's no reason to think that he's not going to turn around and again have an MVP year. He's got the credentials. They're going to stay committed to the running game if they can stay healthy. To get Kelvin Benjamin back should be a huge plus. And the defense, the front seven in particular. Now, the secondary has gone through some change. And so those that want to look at Carolina and say, gee, what's going to happen with Carolina this year? Are they going to have that Super Bowl losing jinx and not even get back to the playoffs? If they do have some difficulties, it's likely going to be in the secondary. They drafted their second-round pick. James Bradbury is going to start for them. They had enough losses in the secondary compared to last year's team, but that's an area you're going to have to watch.
One of the teams that could threaten them in the NFC is Arizona. Obviously, health matters for all 32 teams, but when you have an older quarterback like a Carson Palmer, when you have Larry Fitzgerald, you obviously need them out on the field. But do you feel like Arizona is the best threat to the Panthers in the NFC?
Absolutely. They're a veteran team, and that staying healthy is true of every team. How good is Carolina going to be if they lose to Cam Newton? So you don't wish that on anybody. And so this is going to be a good football team. It's a veteran team. I know the preseason wasn't particularly dynamic, but nobody cares. You remember the Indianapolis Colts days and their heyday with Peyton Manning. They typically went 0-4. The preseason was just not going to be important. So it's important, don't get me wrong, but the final outcome, nobody really cares. Nobody pays attention to. I think Arizona has all the pieces in place. Yes, you got to keep Carson Palmer healthy. Can they indeed build on what was a record year for him? But most of all, I really like what they're doing in the running game. Bruce Arians, let's go back again to your Pittsburgh roots. much like a Mike Bork. He wants to run the ball. Even though you got Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd, they want to run the ball. If David Johnson stays healthy, this guy's pretty good now. I know Bill Belichick is saying, well, he's no Marshall Faulk, okay. But he's not bad. This David Johnson's pretty good. They want to run the ball well. And if they can continue to build on that aspect of it, they're going to be right where they were last year.
You talk about how difficult it is to get back to the Super Bowl, win or lose, and Denver's going to try to do it with a seventh-round pick starting at quarterback. How exactly do they do the fans have confidence in the idea of trying to get back to the Super Bowl with such an unproven quarterback?
Well, you're still in the glow of the Super Bowl championship. They're going to raise that banner, and so, yeah, confidence is going to be high, and it should be. You're going to play great defense. You know, typically, you look at this, and you'd say, okay, they made the determination. We're going to play great defense. We're going to run the ball. And all our quarterback has to do is not throw 23 interceptions like our quarterbacks did last year. Now, I think there's a little bit more to that. The biggest part of that equation to me is, are they going to run the ball then? Because they desperately need to. We'll find out about Trevor Siemian. I think he's a placeholder for Paxton Lynch. Trevor Siemian, I think, could be a solid backup in this league. I followed him in his college career, what you see in the preseason. I don't see those qualities necessarily to say this is going to be a frontline championship caliber quarterback. I certainly could be wrong. And I think Dak Prescott, I think when they went out and drafted Dak Prescott and they let Brock Osweiler leave, that was your ultimate plan.
Last one for you, Coach. As you look at the Patriots, obviously they'll have the first 4 weeks without Tom Brady. They have a schedule that looks like, even with Garoppolo as a game manager, if he doesn't make mistakes, that 2-2 is pretty easy, maybe even 3-1. What are your expectations for the Patriots while they wait for Brady to come back?
Well, there's any number of reasons. With a better New York Jet team, with what looks to be an improving Miami Dolphins team, I think a Buffalo Bills team that could really explode onto the scene. But I've been burnt on this one too many times. I'm not picking against Bill Belichick. I usually say I'm not picking against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. The fact that they still have they're still going to have 12 games when we're done to deal with whatever happens in the next couple of weeks. The strength of the New England Patriots, beyond the fact that they're the New England Patriots, is you keep talking about, okay, do you have to whittle down the game plan or do you have to change the game plan for Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, that's what they do. More so than any team in the league, they morph from 1 week to the next to whatever they have to be. They're the only team in the league that will literally throw the ball 50 times 1 week and run the ball 40 times the next. So they're obviously going, they're not just at the quarterback position, but the team is used to changing its dynamics in terms of what it wants to do from week to week. Clearly, that'll be the task for them with Garoppolo, you know, see what kind of control he has of the offense, play good defense. The schedule right now looks like, we don't know how these teams are really going to play out, but right now it looks pretty manageable. So I think they're going to be in good shape.
He's the coach, Brian Billick. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. He's a part of our Around the NFL here on the NFL Files podcast every single week. It's brought to you by SeatGeek. Make sure you download the SeatGeek app. You're looking for concert tickets, sporting events, a great way for you to make sure you're paying the best possible price for the tickets that you buy. It's SeatGeek. Coach, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
All right, sounds good.
We're going into overtime next with Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker. Stick around.
Overtime.
This week on Overtime, it is 15-year NFL vet Chad Brown spent time with the Steelers, with the Patriots, as well as the Seahawks. And so Chad joins us here on the NFL Files podcast. And Chad, a six-pack of questions for you, and we start here. Question number one, what's the worst part of the opening week as a player?
That your conditioning isn't at as high of a level as it will be later in the season, and you never really get your second win during the course of the ball game.
So you're maybe not quite where you want to be, and so you start feeling it late in the game?
You know, you feel it early. Late in the season, you know, you go out there and you play, and somewhere halfway through the second quarter, you're breathing relaxed and you kind of get that second win kind of feeling. The first week or two of the season, you are out there struggling. You've played the full preseason, you've done all the conditioning, it's just your body is just not ready for a full 60 minutes of NFL high-level regular season football.
Nice. All right. Question number two in our six pack. You spent some time here during training camp with Tennessee. What was that like?
It was an incredible experience. And to contrast that, where I was last year I did an internship with the Seattle Seahawks, obviously one of the best teams, one of the best franchises in the NFL, versus this year with the Tennessee Titans coming off a 3-13 season, them really trying to build something. I think they will be able to build something good there. But a very different experience, one team that's already there, one team that's trying to be there. And also, maybe the best part of the entire experience was getting a chance to essentially shadow Dick LeBeau for an entire month. Dick LeBeau will be in his 58th year in the NFL this season. So to shadow a guy like that with that much NFL experience was literally a priceless experience. And as good of a coach as Dick LeBeau is, he's in the NFL Hall of Fame, he's an even better human being and a better person. I really enjoyed that experience and that time with him.
As you sit right now, Chad, removed from the game, what's the one thing you would go back and tell your NFL rookie self right now if you could do it?
Don't ride the highs and the lows. It's each season is a marathon, and if you are constantly riding the highs and the lows, you're going to wear yourself out emotionally. There's only so much emotion in the human body that you can tap into that reservoir during the course of the season. And to try to be as steady as you can during the course of the week and after the game and while you're watching film is going to allow you to keep as much as you have in the reserve for the game time when you actually need it. Young Chad, you know, always left the game either extremely happy or extremely sad. And come to find out when you watch the film on Monday, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was, nor was it as good as you thought it was. So just try to be steady, Eddie. Keep your emotions in check so you can tap into them when you actually need them on Sunday for those 3 hours.
Question number, let's see here. I'm on four here now for Chad Brown. He's on Twitter at ChadBrown94, part of overtime here. Chad, your favorite quarterback that you ever got to sack, your favorite quarterback to hit?
Man, you know, I've been lucky enough to hit a lot of them. sacked Peyton Manning, strip sacked Peyton Manning, sacked Joe Montana. So that's probably the, you know, most iconic of the quarterbacks who I sacked. But, you know, if there's was a quarterback who's played, you know, in about the 15 years I was in the NFL, there's a strong chance I got to sack him. You know, if I were to choose just one, I probably would go with Joe Montana just because I consider him to be the greatest quarterback of all time. So what better prize than to get the greatest of all time?
Question number five, Chad, would you trade your college national championship at Colorado back in 1990 for a Super Bowl ring? It's a tough one, isn't it?
No. It's a very tough question, but I'll give the answer no. The NFL, while winning a Super Bowl, which I've never won, I'm sure is an amazing experience. To do the national championship in college is different just because NFL, you're a professional, and in college, you're an amateur. And so for a college athlete, you win that championship with guys who you spend all your time with. These are literally your brothers. It's not just your teammates like it is in the NFL. These are literally your brothers. My roommate was on the football team. I spent all my time with those guys. You know, so because of that bonding experience, because of who we are, even now later in life, you know, I will be at those guys' funerals. You know, I'll be there when their, you know, children or grandchildren are born. Because of those types of relationships, I think that makes the national championship in college sweeter than a Super Bowl championship would be.
Last one for you, Chad, in our six-pack of questions. Do you have a pick for who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
You know, I do not. You know, I don't get into that. It's always fascinating to me, whether we're talking college football or pro football, you know, the folks who do that, and I respect those who give it a shot. There's just so much football to be played. So many wacky things can happen. You know, the Broncos won the Super Bowl last year, you know, with one of the worst offenses in Super Bowl winning history. There were points late in the season where it looked as if they might not even win their division. So, you know, so many things have to happen for it all to line up. So my guess would literally just be an absolute guess. You know what? But just to, for the sake of doing this, I'll go with the Seahawks on the NFC side, and I'll go with the Steelers on the AFC.
Very nice. There he is, Chad Brown. He's our guest for overtime this week on the NFL Files. He's on Twitter at ChadBrown94. Make sure you give him a follow. Chad, thanks.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsshow.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.